This morning, we want to look at the God-man, Jesus Christ. But we want to go past the manger and to the greatest story of all time, even to the story of the cross. But let's start our story a little bit before manger time. Let's look at the angel's words to a virgin. Luke 1 and 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And let's look at the angel's words to the virgin's fiancé, Joseph, Matthew 1 and 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now let's go to the birth of that God-man, Jesus Christ. Luke 2 and 6. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Wow! What a miraculous moment in time. The God-man Jesus Christ, born into the world. God had sent his Son. The Son of God had come. Jesus was a babe in a manger. And the angels were singing praises to the glorious God of heaven. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. But God didn't send Jesus just to prove that he could father a God-man through a virgin. The virgin birth wasn't the end. It was the means to the end. God's purpose in sending his Son was to save his people from their sins. And the Son of God becoming the son of a virgin was essential to that purpose. But the birth of Jesus didn't accomplish God's ultimate purpose. The death of Jesus was the eternal purpose to salvation. A manger without a cross accomplishes nothing. A birth without death means nothing. God came down, born to die, that the dead might live. Glory to God in the highest. So let's move to another passage, a rather strange passage for this Christmas morning message. We go almost to an Easter message today, I admit it up front. But let's look at the words in Luke 9 and 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. the passage there began, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. What had just happened in their presence that caused them all to be so amazed at such a mighty power of God? Well, there had been a scene there that they had just witnessed that was pretty impressive. Jesus had just come off the Mount of Transfiguration. I think he probably still glowed, because in Mark's account it says, when they beheld him, they were greatly amazed. When they looked up and saw Jesus, they were greatly amazed. And they came running to him and saluted him, Mark tells us. And Jesus asked the scribes there, why are you questioning with my disciples? And one of the multitude spoke up. He was the desperate one, the father of a lunatic boy. The father of a devil-possessed child spoke up and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. What a scene. The devil inside this little boy. And wherever that boy goes, that devil tears him apart. And that boy foams at the mouth, and that boy gnashes with his teeth, clenches and grinds his teeth together in agony, and then sometimes he just pines away. Just lays there. This father's desperate. And he comes to Jesus, and he says, I've brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. Jesus says that they're a faithless generation. And then he says, bring him to me. And they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. He says the devil taunts Jesus and throws the boy down right there in Jesus' presence. And the boy is laying there on the ground, wallowing around and foaming, and the spirit tearing him apart. And he asked the father, how long has the boy had this? How long is it ago since this came unto him? And the father said, of a child. He's had it since he was a baby, since he was a little child. And oftentimes it throws him in the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Oh, can you imagine? Who got him out of that fire? I reckon that daddy probably did. The devil throws him in, and the daddy snatches him out, and the devil throws him in oftentimes, and the daddy snatches him out of that fire and out of that water. The devil trying to destroy this boy. He says to Jesus, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Well, that's the wrong way to ask Jesus anything. Don't say if you can. Jesus is able, but the man says, if you can, would you? And Jesus answers him this way, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And that man in desperation, it says he cried out with tears. At this point, the man burst into tears and said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, my goodness, our faith is weak, but Jesus is not weak. Jesus said, if you can believe, I'll do it. And the man said, I can't believe very strong. My faith is weak, but you know Jesus does it anyway. Isn't Jesus good? Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And then Jesus sees the people coming, and he says to that dumb spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more unto him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, he tore him apart and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. Thought the devil had finally killed him, but he didn't. He came out of him, that boy laying there looking lifeless, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. A hopeless father, a lunatic boy, a mighty devil. Jesus spoke, the devil fled, the boy lay limp. And they thought he was dead, but Jesus took him by his little hand, lifted him up, and handed him to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. The next line in our text, but while they wondered everyone at all things which Jesus did, what's that mean? They wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did. Every one of them wondered at all the things that Jesus had been doing here lately. They pondered the last few months, and as they all pondered, they all wondered. They all wondered at all the things that Jesus had done, and they had plenty to wonder about. They wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. They begin to wonder at all the things that had been going on with this man, Jesus Christ. Some might have remembered his childhood, when they that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. He was 12 years old. Some might have remembered his baptism, when the Spirit came down, descended in the form of a dove, and lighted upon him, and the voice of the Father from heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased, my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Some might have remembered the time they had him and were throwing off the cliff. And he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Where'd he go? I thought you had him. Can you imagine? They wondered at all things that Jesus did. Some of them might have thought about his teachings. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power, the scriptures say. Some might have thought of his power over the devils. They were amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of Jesus went abroad, it says, when he cast out those devils. And not only did he have power over devils, he had power over all diseases. When the sun was setting, Luke tells us, all they that had any sick and divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. There wasn't a case that physician couldn't cure. They wondered at all the things that Jesus had done. Some might have thought of him curing that leper. When it came to pass that he was in a certain city, and behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." That's a whole lot better prayer, isn't it? That lunatic boy's father said, "If you can, would you?" This man says, "If you will, I know you can make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. That's amazing. Jesus touched a leper. They were untouchable. The leper was to cry, "Unclean, unclean," and keep his distance. But Jesus touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy departed from him. A man full of leprosy. Leprosy is a dreadful disease. If you're full of leprosy, your fingers have fallen off and your toes have fallen off and perhaps your nose has fallen off. This man comes to Jesus in this ugly, disfiguring disease that's a picture of sin. And he says, "If you will, I know you can clean me. Can you clean me from my sins? Can you clean me from my leprosy?" And Jesus said, "I will." And he touched that sinner. He touched that leper. And that leper was clean at the voice of Jesus. Oh, they wondered at all the things they'd been seeing. Some might have wondered about that time when those four buddies dropped that man through that roof. You see, they couldn't get in the house where Jesus was. It was too crowded. So these four friends bring this man and his bed. He's stuck in the bed because he's paralyzed. But they bring him and his bed, and they take the roof apart and drop that man down in the presence of Jesus. And that man that they dropped in his bed, he carried his own bed out. And you know what it says about that? It said, some of them said, "We have seen strange things today." And another account says, "We've never seen it done on this fashion." I bet that's right. They'd never seen anything on this fashion. They'd never seen anything like this man. They'd seen strange things the last few months. And they all began to wonder at all the things they had seen. Some might have thought of his doctrines, his teachings. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. They might have wondered at that kind of teaching. That's a different kind of teaching, isn't it? He's a different kind of man. He's a wonderful man. And he's a man who caused them to be full of wonder. And they all wondered at all the things that he had done. Oh, some might have wondered about that dead boy. You know, Jesus met that funeral procession coming down the street, and he's carrying that boy in that casket. That's where he found him. And Jesus came and touched the bier, that's the casket. And they that bare him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And Jesus delivered that boy to his mother. He sat up and began to speak. You ever seen that happen? That'd cause you to stop and think, wouldn't it? They wondered at all the things that he did. Some might have thought of those words, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." He rebukes even the winds and the waves, and he says, "Peace, be still." And it said that they were exceedingly fearful at that point. They'd been afraid of the storm. They said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They were really afraid. But when he spoke, they were really, really afraid. It says at that point in Mark's account, they were exceedingly fearful. And they said, "Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey his voice. They had seen wonderful things. They sure had. What about Jairus' daughter? They first send to Jesus and say, "Come quick. She's dying. She's 12 years old. She's dying. Please come help." Jesus gets distracted. We might think of it that way. Jesus is right on schedule. I think he gets to that house just when he means to get to that house. But in their way of thinking, they send another messenger and say, "Don't trouble the master anymore. She's dead. He can't help now. There's nothing anybody can do now. She's dead." Jesus speaks to them about believing. I don't know if any of them really believed what was going to happen. But he comes to that house and he says, "She's not dead. She's just asleep. Don't be crying. Don't be weeping. Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth." And you know what they did? Did they believe that? No, it says they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. They knew what dead was. She was dead. Jesus knew what dead was. But Jesus' way of looking at dead is a little different to our way of looking at dead, isn't it? Jesus said, "She's asleep, and I'm going to wake her up." So he put out all those others, and he took Peter and James and John and the mama and daddy of that little girl, and he goes into her room, and he sees her laying there, and he says, "Maid, arise," and he took her by the hand, and her spirit came again, and she arose immediately, and he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished, it says. I bet they were. I bet the rest of them that had been laughing were too, weren't they? The whole world was astonished at him. They all wondered. Every one of them wondered at all the things that they had seen. Some of them might have wondered about that, those 5,000 men besides the women and children that ate those five little loaves and those two small fish. Where'd all that come from? And then when it's all over, there's 12 baskets of scraps. Gather up the fragments that nothing remain. They all were amazed at the mighty power of God. And while they wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did, while they were wondering, everyone, at all things Jesus did, you know, Jesus knew what they were thinking. And in their minds, they were glorifying Jesus. And that's not bad to do. In their minds, they were lifting him up, and in their thoughts, they were praising him, and they were wondering, and they were full of awe and astonishment and amazement and wonder at the mighty power of God and at all the things that this man had been doing. And that's good. It's not that they were on such a wrong track. Jesus is just trying to put them on a little more right track than what they're on. While they wondered, everyone, at all things which Jesus did, at this point, while their minds are focused on his glory, he said unto his disciples, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men." While they were amazed at the mighty power of God for the moment, and while they wondered at all the miracles that Jesus did, Jesus directed their thoughts, their minds, to the cross. Let this soak into your head. Let this sink down into your ears. Let this thought be in your mind. If you want to glorify me, if you want to see something glorious, if you want to see the most glorious thing that's ever been, ever going to be, ever will be, ever has been, the most glorious thing of all time, is that God's going to a cross for you. God's come into this world not to show off. God's come into this world to die for sinners. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. As glorious as all the miracles had been, they were nothing compared to what was to come. God had become a man, not just to prove he could do it. God had become a man, not just to give us a Christmas story of a babe in a manger. God the Father and a virgin the mother. God had become a man not just to prove he could conquer devils, or he could cure diseases, or he could make people happy that were sad, or that he could even raise the dead. God had become a man in order that he could be delivered to men, in order that he could die as a man in order that he could save men. That was the thought that Jesus wanted in their head. That's the life-changing thought that Jesus' followers need to continually have between their ears. That changes everything. If the story had ended with the wonders of the miracle birth, there'd be no hope for men. If the story had ended with the wonders of the miracle man, there'd be no hope for men. Jesus said, if you want to really be amazed, consider that I came to die for you. My friends, ponder God's eternal plan of salvation. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, at just the right moment, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God sent Jesus on purpose for a purpose, to redeem, to pay the price. Did God know the price that He would demand? Surely He did. Did God know the price was blood? Surely He did. Did God know the price was the death of His Son? He sure did. But He sent His Son anyway. Let that soak into your head. Let Isaiah 9:6 soak into your head. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The birth of the child, that's glorious. But the giving of a son to die, that's multiplied times more glorious, my friends. That's what's so important. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's glory, my friends. There's no God like that God. There's no love like that love. There's no Savior like that Savior. Luke 20:13. The Lord of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved Son. That's what I'll do. I will send my beloved Son. Ponder Jesus' love for you. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down His life for His friends. For you and me, my friends. Oh, the story of the miracle birth, it's glorious to God. And the story of the virgin birth, it's essential to salvation. The virgin birth brought a man into the world, a man whose father was God, and a man who bypassed the inherent sin of Adam. The virgin birth brought a man into the world who could save his people from their sins. But the most glorious thing is that the man who could save his people from their sins did save his people from their sins on that cross. As wonderful as Jesus' birth was, Jesus didn't save anybody with His birth. There was no salvation in the manger. Salvation was in the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection. As wonderful as Jesus' miracles were, Jesus didn't save anybody with His miracles. There was no salvation in the death of Lazarus. There was no salvation in Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Salvation was in the death of Jesus. Salvation was in Jesus raising Himself from the dead. The only way for Jesus to save His people from their sins was to offer Himself as a sacrifice to God. The only way for Jesus to save His people was to die in their place. The only way for Jesus to save His people was to suffer in their stead. And there's no other way to salvation but Jesus Christ. No other way to salvation but Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Exclusively through Jesus. He is the Savior and the only Savior. There's no other name by which we must be saved but Jesus. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way but the cross. Let me tell you what Paul thought about it. Let me tell you what Paul's message was. Let me tell you what Paul determined to preach. Listen to Paul's words. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save that is except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So you might be thinking, Brother Jeff, you've lost your mind. Brother Jeff doesn't know what holiday it is. He's turned the Easter story, the Christmas story, into the Easter story. And I know what holiday it is. I know that the virgin birth was a necessity. But on this Christmas day, I'm just following Paul's pattern for preaching. I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. According to the teaching of Jesus, the real wonder is not the manger or the miracles. Jesus said for us to let the story of God on a cross sink down between our ears. The story of God on that cross is the hope of the sinner. The story of God on that cross is the hope of eternity. The story of God on that cross is the most wonderful story of all eternity. The story of God on that cross is the song of heaven. Revelation 5 and 9, they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. They sing in heaven the new song of heaven. You were slain, Jesus. You went to the cross, Jesus. That's what's in their minds up there. Let that be what's in our minds down here, that you've redeemed us to God by your blood. So according to the pattern of Paul and according to the urgency of the message of Jesus, I bring to you the Easter story on this Christmas morning. I bring to you death, burial, and resurrection on this morning, that we might be thinking about the manger. And you, may you let the wonder of that story of the cross sink down between your ears. Christmas without Easter, the manger without the cross, the birth of the God-man without his death, leaves a sinner in a hopeless hell. But the fact that the sinless babe in the manger became the sinless man on the cross, the fact that the sinless man on the cross came out of the tomb, resurrected, the God-man crucified and resurrected, in that story is the sinner's hope of heaven.